But I am very happy to be here, very content today. But if we could, I'd like to go to in our Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. And this is going to be Ezekiel chapter 17. You will remember that last week we were in Ezekiel 16 and we read a parable in which, the longest parable in the Bible, in which God likened, or Ezekiel likened, Jerusalem unto a baby that had been found out in the wilderness. And the man that found her out in the wilderness, you know, had blessed her and raised her. And then when she became of marrying age, he entered into a marriage covenant with her. And she became his wife. And then she was unfaithful to him. And that was a parable about Jerusalem and how that they had been unfaithful to God and gone into idolatry. And do you remember that parable last week? Well, this is Ezekiel's second parable, and this one is much shorter. In fact, we're going to read the entire chapter of Ezekiel 17. And so what I'd like to, in fact, I don't do this very often, but Sister Wiggins, would you be willing to read that? Yes, 24 verses. If you want, you can just go down and sit down right there, or you can sit right there and read it. Okay? I just want you to hear somebody's voice other than my own, my own monotone. But before Sister Wiggins starts reading it, I want to give you a 2 or 3 sentence summary of what she's going to read, okay? Because then while she's reading it, you won't have to be trying to figure things out, okay? This story is about, this parable is about a great eagle that transplants a twig from the top of a cedar tree, then plants a seed which becomes a flourishing vine. But then a second lesser eagle comes and attracts the vine's attention and draws it away from the first eagle. Okay? That's the story, and we're going to talk about what it means today. But Sister Wiggins, if you would just read verses 1 through 24.
The word of the Lord came to me, "Son of man, propound a riddle and speak a parable to the house of Israel. Say, thus says the Lord God, a great eagle with great wings and long pinions, rich in plumage of many colors, came to Lebanon and took the top of the cedar. He broke off the topmost of its young twigs and carried it to a land of trade and set it in a city of merchants. Then he took of the seed of the land and planted it in fertile soil. He placed it beside abundant waters. He set it like a willow twig. And it sprouted and became a low-spreading vine, and its branches turned toward him, and its roots remained where it stood. So it became a vine and produced branches and put out boughs. And there was another great eagle with great wings and much plumage, and behold, this vine bent its roots toward him and shot forth its branches toward him from the bed.
Obviously, this plant, this vine, had its roots and its branches toward the first, now lesser eagle, enters, and the vine shifts its focus to this other eagle.
This vine bent its roots towards him and shot forth its branches toward him from the bed where it was planted, that he might water it. It had been planted on good soil by abundant waters, that it might produce branches and bear fruit and become a noble vine. Say, thus says the Lord, will it thrive? Will he not pull up its roots and cut off its fruit so that it withers, so that all its fresh sprouting leaves wither? It will not take a strong arm or many people to pull it from its roots. Behold, it is planted. Will it thrive? Will it not utterly wither when the east wind strikes it, wither away on the bed where it sprouted? Then the word of the Lord came to me. Say now to the rebellious house, do you not know what these things mean? Tell them, Behold, the king of Babylon came to Jerusalem and took her king and her princes and brought them to Babylon, to him to Babylon. And he took one of the royal offspring and made a covenant with him, putting him under the oath, the chief men of the land he had taken away, that the kingdom might be humble and not lift itself up and keep his covenant that it might stand. But he rebelled against him by sending his ambassadors to Egypt that they might give him horses and a large army. Will he thrive? Can one escape who does such things? Can he break the covenant and yet escape? As I live, declares the Lord God, surely in the place where the king dwells who made him king, whose oath he despised and whose covenant with him he broke in Babylon, he shall die. Pharaoh, with his mighty army and great company, will not help him in war when mounds are cast up and siege walls built to cut off many lands, many lives. He despised the oath in breaking the covenant, and behold, he gave his hand and did all these things. He shall not escape. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, as I live, surely it is my oath that he despised, and my covenant that he broke. I will return it upon his head. I will spread my net over him, and he shall be taken in my snare. And I will bring him to Babylon and enter into judgment with him there for the treachery he has committed against me. And all the pick of his troops shall fall by the sword, and the survivors shall be scattered to every wind. And you shall know that I am the Lord, I have spoken. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar and will set it out. I will break off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel will I plant it, that it may bear branches and produce fruit and become a noble cedar. And under it will dwell every kind of bird. In the shade of its branches birds of every sort will nest. And all the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree, I make high the low tree, dry up the green tree, and make the dry tree flourish. I am the Lord, I have spoken, and I will do it.
And do this whole chapter, verse by verse, but we'd have to spend 2 or 3 weeks on it. So there's some passages I will not cover, but that last verse, where it says, all the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord, I bring low the high tree, I make high the low tree, I dry up the green tree, and I make dry the dry tree to flourish. In other words, God is completely sovereign, and God can do what he wants. And this is about God's plan. But if I can today, I know this parable, you might sit there and say, but Brother Wiggins, what in the world could this parable have to do with me and my life? You know, we're talking vines and cedar trees and twigs. How in the world could this apply to me? I'm going to talk for just a little while today on staying faithful to our covenant. Staying faithful to our covenant. Let's worship the Lord today. God, we're so thankful, Lord, to be in your presence. And this is your word, God, and this is the light that gives us, this gives us light to walk and to know. And Lord, you speak to us through your word, God, and we want to hear your voice, Lord, through your word today, God. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray that you would help us our understanding. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. You can sit down. First of all, let me read verse 3. It says, thus says the Lord God, a great eagle with great wings and great pinions, rich in plumage of many colors, came to Lebanon and took the top of the cedar tree. So imagine this cedar tree growing in Lebanon, and here comes this eagle, and at the top of that tree, he grabs the very top branches of it and tears them off and goes away with them. And let me just say very, very quickly, you say, well, what's this tree about? Well, oftentimes in Scripture, and I'm going to show you that oftentimes in Scripture, God would speak of a man or even of a nation as a tree. And you're going to say, well, where? How? Wow. Well, let me give you one that we would all know and probably almost all of us can quote. Psalm chapter 1 says that blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night, right? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither. You can also, we all sat in Sunday school and we know the stories of the book of Daniel, like Daniel in the lion's den and the handwriting on the wall and all of this. But there was another time, and it is in Daniel chapter 4, that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And in verse 5, he says, I saw a dream. This is King Nebuchadnezzar talking. He said, I saw a dream that made me afraid as I lay in bed. And then he says in verse 10, he tells his dream. He says, the visions of my head as I lay in bed were, I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. And the tree grew and became strong, and its top reached up to heaven. And he then talked, if you skip down to verse 14, an angel came down and said, chop down the tree. And Nebuchadnezzar went to Daniel and said, what is this dream? And Daniel said, do you really want to know? And he says, that king is you, Nebuchadnezzar, because you have grown proud and you have grown arrogant. And in your pride and in your arrogance, God is now ready to humble you. And he gave you this dream of this tree getting chopped down because you're fixing to get chopped down. And you know the story of him losing his mind and going out and living with the beasts of the field. And then let me give you one other example here before we launch into this. If you remember when Jesus, before Jesus came, John the Baptist came to announce the coming of Messiah. And if you look at Matthew chapter 3, John was preaching, and when he saw the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to be baptized, he called them vipers. And he said, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And then he says in verse 10, even now the axe, and he's talking about the nation of Israel and Israelites that had not been faithful to God. And he said, the axe is laid to the root of the trees, and every tree therefore that does not bear good fruit is cut down. And so I just read those three quick verses to say, can you see how God refers to people and to nations as trees sometimes? And so now you go back here and you see in verse 3 of chapter 17, there's this big tall cedar tree. And here comes this, and we're going to say that cedar tree, and I'm quite accurate in this, this is not contested at all. Everybody pretty well believes this. That cedar tree is the kingdom of Judah. That would be the southern kingdom of Israel, right there where Jerusalem was. And this would be the kingdom of Judah, and the great eagle was the king of Babylon, and we all know him, Nebuchadnezzar. And so here comes Nebuchadnezzar. He flies into this Judah, grabs some branches, and it says verse 4, he broke off the topmost and its young twigs and carried it to a land of trade and set it in a city of merchants. I will tell you who the top branch was, would be the top dude. That would be King Jehoiakim. Nebuchadnezzar came in to Jerusalem and took, you can read in 2 Kings chapter 24, verse 11 and 12, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to the city while his servants were besieging it. And look at verse 15. He carried away Jehoiakim to Babylon. So can you see verse 4 being fulfilled there? That topmost branch on that cedar tree was King Jehoiakim. And King Nebuchadnezzar came in like an eagle and took him, and it says he carried him off to a land of trade. That would be the city of Babylon, because he took him. And it says here in verse 15, it says, It says they carried away Jehoiakim to Babylon. So can you see how this is being played out and what it's meaning? Then in verse 5, it says, then he took seed of the land and planted it in a fertile soil, and he placed it by abundant waters. Let me tell you what's going on there. The seed of the land that was planted in fertile soil was the survivors that King Nebuchadnezzar left in Jerusalem and the surrounding area. When he swept through there, he got a bunch of people and he got the rulers. He got a lot of the rulers and stuff like that. But he left people there because what he was going to do, what Nebuchadnezzar's intention was, is listen, if I totally destroy this city, what am I profited by it? I've just made a wasteland. But if the city can be prosperous, if they can keep on farming their lands, they can have enough to eat and clothes to wear, and they can prosper, but I will then say, okay, I get 20%. I get 10%. I get a cut. You know, you can keep your houses, you can keep your land, you can farm your land, you can eat of your produce, but just remember, out of all the profits that you make, I get a cut. That's how kings operated back in those days. Are you following me? And so he left some survivors, the seed of the land, that's the seed of the land here, and it was planted in fertile soil and beside it abundant waters. In other words, he left Jerusalem set up to be able to prosper. And what God was doing by the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, and I could go to other passages and show you this, but you're just going to have to take my word for it. God's intention was to bring Israel to a place of humility and repentance. And so he brought in Nebuchadnezzar and overthrew them, but did not destroy them. And he's just like, he said, listen, we're going to plant the seed in the fertile land. We're going to let people stay. We're going to let them farm their lands. But what God's going to do is God's going to use Nebuchadnezzar just to bring them to humility and repentance. That's what God was using Nebuchadnezzar for, was to bring the nation of Israel to repentance. And what happens is, if you read the story, he went and he put up what you would call kind of a puppet king by the name of Zedekiah. And if anybody knows, I don't know if you know or not, Zedekiah was Josiah's grandson. Everybody remember King Josiah? The last really good king, the last really righteous, God-loving king that Judah ever had. And this was his grandson that should know better. And King Nebuchadnezzar said, listen, you're the grandson of Josiah. You're an Israelite. I'm going to make you king. You're going to get to rule over all of Judah, but you still have to answer to me, but you're going to get to be king. And I'm going to be nice to you guys. You're going to be able to prosper. You're going to be able to live well. And then let's go down to verse 7. And well, let me say this in verse 6. And let's, Brian, you're going to be Egypt. And Robert, you're going to be Babylon. Okay? And I'm going to be Zedekiah, the king. So you make me king, and you're going to be good to me. You're going to be good to Israel, good to the land. We're going to have to give you a cut out of our profits, but you're going to be good to us. And I entered into an oath, a covenant with you. I've made, now we have a covenant. It's now an agreement. That's what happened. But me being Zedekiah, I say, I don't want you ruling over. I'm going to agree with you. What Zedekiah should have done was said, wait a second, God allowed this to happen. I need to, in this circumstance, I need to seek the Lord and not try to deliver myself out of this. I need to let God deliver me out of this. But guess what happens? While Nebuchadnezzar's not looking, Zedekiah slips over here to Egypt This is that second eagle. Remember, there were two eagles in this parable? In fact, can you go to that next verse, Carl? I can't remember if it's verse number 7 or what verse is it? The next verse that I had in line. Verse 7. And there was another eagle with great wings. That second eagle, and don't take this personally, Brian, but if you look in the Hebrew, this eagle was tall, dark, and handsome, and had beautiful plumage of several different colors. And the second eagle, not that great, not as good. Sorry, Brian. But he went to him, and he goes, listen, I've got a covenant with him, but I want to break my covenant with him. And I want to make a covenant with you. And for your military, if you will help, your military will help me get out from under him, then I'm going to give you a good cut of money. So he made an oath, he made a covenant, and then what did he do? He broke his covenant. And that's what this is talking about, was Judah was this vine that got planted, and it began growing, and its roots were toward, its roots and its branches were toward that first eagle, which was Babylon. And then he looks over and sees Egypt and says, ha, ha, ha. And the branches and the roots start going. And Zedekiah, if you read the story, and we're not going to go into, we don't have time to go into the story, but Zedekiah broke his, in fact, let me just read one little snippet of it. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 11 through 13. It says, Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet. Look at verse 13. He also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who made him swear by God. He stiffened his neck and hardened his heart against turning to the Lord God of Israel. So what's the lesson to be learned by this? You say, Brother Wiggins, I didn't understand the parable before. I understand it now. I mean, are we there? Do we understand the parable? More or less? You say, but what do we do with this? Well, one of the things that we learn from this is that covenants mean something to God. When they rebelled, when Judah rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, they were not realizing that the reason they were under Nebuchadnezzar in the first place was because God had placed them there, because God was trying to bring them to repentance. So when they were rebelling against King Nebuchadnezzar, they were actually rebelling against God. When they were breaking that covenant, when Zedekiah broke that covenant that he made with King Nebuchadnezzar, in God's eyes, he wasn't breaking the covenant with Babylon. He was breaking the covenant with the Lord himself. And God is saying, listen, I put you there to teach you guys a lesson and to get you to humble yourselves. And rather than humbling yourselves and repent, you're just trying to figure out an escape plan. And you know, folks, we don't need an escape plan. And God and covenants mean something to God. Covenants mean something to him. And we've got to know and we've got to learn that we're in a covenant relationship with God. We're in a covenant relationship, folks. And it's a covenant that we need to be faithful to. If you read the story, the end of Zedekiah, he had a miserable end. He ended up getting carried off and executed. And I might be wrong, but Carl, am I right? Was he the one that they executed his sons in front of before they executed him, I think? I can't remember. But why? Because Zedekiah did not understand the importance of honoring your covenant. Honoring your oath. Honor your covenant. Honor your promise, says. If you've taken an oath, we are in a covenant relationship with God. Folks, we need to honor our covenant. We need to honor it. You look at verse 22, and really, we're kind of in on the landing strip here almost of this. It says, thus says the Lord God. And this is some interesting stuff here. He's talked all about this parable, about this cedar tree and twigs and the eagle, which was King Nebuchadnezzar getting some twigs out of the top of that tree, which was the king of Judah. But then look at what happens here in verse 22. God totally changes direction. And he says, thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar. So is the eagle, is King Nebuchadnezzar going to take this twig? No. Who's going to get that twig? God's going to get that twig. And he says, I will break off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel will I plant it. Does anybody want to take a guess on who or what that twig was that God said that he would plant? Any takers? Sorry? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. God said, out of that cedar tree, that same cedar tree that King Nebuchadnezzar came and plucked out of that same Davidic line of kings, I am going to grab a twig. And I am going to plant him. And he's going to grow. And he is going to flourish. And let me give you, and if you for, and if for any reason you doubt what I'm saying, let me nail this down today. Zechariah chapter 6. What you just said, Brian, is that Ezekiel 17 right there, that twig is referring to Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Brian, let me read you Zechariah 6 and 12. Everybody believes, everybody agrees, all scholars agree that this verse is talking about Messiah. This was going to be the coming of Messiah, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold the man whose name is the branch. Brian, where the scripture you refer to, he's called a twig. Branch, twig, same thing. Behold the man whose name is the branch, for he shall branch out from his place and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Look at Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 15. All scholars agree that this verse is talking about Messiah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring forth of David. Look at Isaiah 11, verses 1 and 2. Therefore shall come a shoot from the stump, like a tree that's been cut down, from the stump of Jesse, that was the father of David, and a branch from his roots shall bear forth. So, God said, I'm going to plant a branch. And I'm just going to say, Zedekiah made a covenant with Nebuchadnezzar. But let's look at this branch that the Lord was going to plant, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 11 and 23, Paul said this. He says, I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the what? New covenant in my blood. Now, Robert, remember, Zedekiah made that covenant. But did he keep it? Now, this twig, this branch that's getting planted, that branch is speaking. And he says, this cup, the wine in this cup, is representative of my blood. He says, this is the new covenant. This is the new covenant. and you look at Hebrews chapter 10, or no, chapter 9, excuse me, Hebrews chapter 9. Therefore, he, meaning Jesus, is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. So Jesus Christ is the mediator of a new and a better covenant. And verse Hebrews chapter 10, kind of, I don't want to say it scares me, but it's a little unsettling to me. And I'm done, basically. It says, anyone who set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy or the evidence of two or three witnesses. But how much worse a punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified? In other words, Robert, I'm Zedekiah. You're Nebuchadnezzar. I broke my covenant with you. I made a covenant and I broke it. And if breaking a covenant with a human king is bad, how much worse would it be to break a covenant with the Almighty Everlasting God? To make a covenant, break a covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, how much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has spurned the Son of God and profaned the blood of the covenant? I want to keep the covenant that I've made. I want to be faithful. I may not be perfect, and I know I have to repent, and I know I make mistakes, but I want to every day strive to keep the covenant as best I can. There might be times that I got to go to my knees and say, Lord, forgive me for this. God, I did this wrong. God, I said that wrong. But I want to keep my covenant. Last point. I don't want to end on such a gloom and doom note. But in fact, let's all stand. Robert, if you read the story, when you found out that I broke the covenant with you, with Brian, not only did you make Brian pay, but Robert, you came and you rounded up me. Nebuchadnezzar came and got Zedekiah and dragged him back to Babylon and executed him. Or something to that effect. He ended up being executed. Carl, did he get executed in? Remind me. He was a prisoner, yes. And was it the one who punched out his eyes? They punched out his eye. They killed his sons in front of his eyes and punched his eyes out. And he came back and lived a life of misery in Babylon. Yes, thank you. That was the judgment from an earthly king. But Jesus said this, and if you'll give me my last verse for today, Carl, he said this. He said, now the very last verse where Jesus is talking. There it is. Jesus says, I tell you, my friends, don't fear those who will kill the body and after that have nothing more they can do. If an earthly king or ruler kills you, once you're dead, they can't do any more to you. But Jesus says, I warn you whom to fear. Fear him who after he is killed has authority to cast into hell. That's who we need to fear. And so I don't want to be gloom and doom today, but I just want to impress upon us. My. I knew it was going to be gloom and doom, but I didn't know it was going to have special effects to go along with it. Maybe we can even get some lights to flash, some strobe lights or something to flash on, get some mood lighting in here and really scare you next week. But I just want to honor the covenant. Church, we are in a covenant relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the bride of Christ. We have been espoused to the groom. We need to be faithful to him. as a bride would be faithful to her husband, so we as the church need to strive not to be perfect, not to be totally sinless because it's impossible, but strive to try and be faithful unto the Lord and honor the covenant. Zedekiah did not honor his covenant. And if you look at the previous parable, the unfaithful wife, what did she do? She did not honor the covenant that she made with her husband. You know what? Church, let's strive for faithfulness. Let's strive for faithfulness. Let's worship the Lord today. God, I thank you, Jesus. Lord, I praise you, God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's come up front for just a moment. I know I've gone a long time. We won't spend long up here, but let's come up front for just a moment. This was long, and I know you'd say, man, I just all this, but you know, there was something here. And if you look at both of those parables, the parable of the unfaithful wife and the parable of she broke her covenant to her husband, then the next parable, Zedekiah broke his covenant with Nebuchadnezzar. And you know, it just impresses on me, we're in a covenant relationship. We need to honor our covenants. Covenant that we've made with the Lord. We need to honor that. So, amen. Praise the Lord.